Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Olin, good morning. How you holding up?
Good morning, guys. They were like kids at Christmas in the bar yesterday when we were doing our show.
Wasn't that awesome? Toasted
Lovin caught that ball and scored the touchdown. It was awesome, man. It was awesome. Selfishly, to be in, out somewhere and have the Bears win a football game and like that, of course, when we all thought they were going to lose and we walked downstairs and we thought we had to win, and then they scored 2 really quick. But then they find a way to score a touchdown. The place went crazy. It was fun to enjoy that out there in Chicago and just to watch the Chicago Bears find a way to win a football game that was crazy and fun to watch and really entertaining.
Olin, Mully said that you believed at the time that Caleb Williams was going to do what he did and bring the Bears back. I want you to explain why maybe you had that belief and what you think overall of the way that Caleb Williams has made progress at this point, midway through Ben Johnson's first season.
David, belief and just hope, right? Just blind hope because, gosh, we've lost so much around here. But also belief because you've watched him, right, especially in this game against this defense. At the end of the first half, they moved the ball down the field. Now, they did miss the field goal, but he was effective in the 2-minute drill with his legs. And the Bengals couldn't get him to the ground, whether if they had pressure on the left half of field, Benedict, or not. Caleb was getting out of the pocket, rolling around, finding receivers. Things like the pass to Colson Loveland in the third quarter after delay a game on the goal line, a touchdown pass there where Caleb does a nice job taking his eyes to the left, making the linebacker move maybe one step and finding Colson Loveland. You know, before, with the Chicago Bears offense and the players that we've been watching here in Chicago, if they got to delay a game, that it was just over, no matter what defense you were playing against, right? Delay a game on a 1-yard line. Now we're at 35.5 or 6, and he still finds Colson Loveland for that touchdown in the third quarter. So things like that made me think, okay, this guy can move him down the field, and all we needed was a field goal. You know, I didn't know Colson Loveland was going to break those tackles and obviously scored a touchdown. But, you know, David, I'm sure you guys have talked about on 3rd and 10, Theo Benedict's beat pretty clean. But Caleb, you know, finds a way to get out of pocket and run for the first down. So, obviously, I just kind of believe in that. And then you're starting to believe in Ben Johnson a little more, right, in the play caller and the way he sees things and the way he sets things up and when he calls plays and when you watch the way he stacks plays and attacks defenses. Because we have the advantage of stopping the film, saying, okay, it's third, you know, this is the down and distance. This is the coverage they're running. Oh, man, they should have ran this play, which is always easy to do as an analyst. Ben Johnson seems to do that on the run, right, from the sideline. Very good play caller, which we all knew coming into this year, watching his film from the Detroit Lions. You know, even when he calls screens, it always seems to be at the right time. He's always guessing what defense. And Mully, Pat, and I talked about, and even Dustin, we talked about, you know, yesterday at the postgame show, we talked about, man, quarterbacks, and they always talk about quarterbacks and players processing information. A head coach has to process a ton of information from the sidelines. So that connection between Caleb and Ben is probably what gave me the most confidence. And also watching the Bengals defense and how bad they were gave me a little more confidence.
This segment with Olin Krutz is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency. Call the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. I was kind of surprised by the Bears' defense, not in a good way. I felt like they were really struggling. It looks like they lost the linebacker now, and you know they've been pretty beaten up, and the secondary was pretty beaten up. I thought Chauncey Gardner-Johnson played okay. I thought he did pretty well, considering he just came off the street and was able to perform in the way he did. I keep thinking they need to add a corner, Olin, or they need to add something. And I guess we talked about Jair Alexander has already been traded to Philadelphia. They gave up a swap of sixth and a seventh round pick to get him, which seems like, you know, you're rolling the dice, maybe, who knows. But they also gave up a third today to get themselves
Jalen
Phillips,
pass
rusher, and Jaden Phillips, who's a guy from Miami. Has been out with some injury, but has played well when he's been in early in his career. Do you anticipate them trying to solve some of these issues before tomorrow at 3 p.m., or do you think there's just too much competition for it?
Getting to 5-3 has made it interesting, right? He ran the middle of the mix of the NFC North, and how does Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson see their team right now? Did he see them making a run in the playoffs, and how many assets do you want to give up to get your defense hopefully moving in the right direction? We knew going into the game that this was going to be a tough matchup for the Chicago Bears, especially in the secondary with their injuries and with the guys they have out. I know Tyreek Stevenson was coming back, but Kyler Gordon and Jalen Johnson being out, how healthy really is Tyreek Stevenson? Then you're going against, you know, Chase and Higgins and Flacco, and they're on a heater right now, and really just, you know, like Higgins' catch right late in the first half. Crazy catch there, man. Just threw the ball up. I don't know why Brisker sits on Noah Fant there. I would imagine he'd had help over the top on T. Higgins, but he didn't. So, you know, the pass rush obviously is a problem. The pass rush is a problem right now. We're not getting home. When you do lose guys in the secondary, you're hoping that the other unit can pick them up and put pressure on the quarterback, and didn't get much of that yesterday either. You knew we were in trouble when Mitchell Tindley caught a pass right for 27 yards. You're like, man, we're not guarding anybody right now. So I wouldn't be shocked if they go get a pass rusher or a cornerback that can help them out on their run here now that they are on to try to get into the playoffs.
Olin, on one hand, I loved the running game and the way Ben Johnson leaned on it heavily yesterday, and Kyle Manungai getting 176 yards for a seventh-round draft pick who they really needed to step up. On the other, you're always reminded and wondering, because it came against the worst rush defense in the NFL, what it all means. In your from your perspective, given you probably have seen similar situations like this before, what do we take away from Kyle Manungai's big day?
Kyle Manungai, now, that's the guy we saw run at Rutgers, right? Just downhill, move the pile, hit the hole hard, get those extra yards. Obviously, like you're talking about, the Bengals defense, what is repeatable is what we keep asking when you're watching Chicago's Bears play, and all these takeaways keep popping out, and you know, the big plays and crazy things are happening right now, and hey, you need a little luck in the NFL. But remember, we watched the Washington Commanders game when it came out of the bye week, and we said, hey, that run game and their run defense is repeatable. Those are two things they can do against people. When we went into this game, the pre and post game show, and we said, man, this offensive line can take over this game, right? Because when I watched the Bengals defensive line, obviously the week before against the Ravens, the run game wasn't great. And styles make fights, and matchups make what you do in games. And the Bears had a huge advantage yesterday with Dahlman and Tooney and Jonah Jackson and Darnell Wright. And they were even bringing Ogden Trapillo in, tight end, and Theo Benedict. And they were, Coach Johnson talks about watching a sideline view. Well, he's going to enjoy it this week. They were getting some movement, man. I mean, they're rocking guys off the ball. Now, Manungai has had good games too and good runs against other teams, and how much is repeatable, and you know, the things they worried about when he came in from the draft. Okay, you know, I mean, with his style of running and his size, can he run like that in the NFL for 10, 12, 14 weeks in a row? And those are the things that I know you're talking about, David, but I tell you the truth, man, I watched that Bengals film. O-line did a great job. Did what they were supposed to do against that front, against the Bengals' young linebackers. And Coach Johnson talked about running trick plays to play with their – to mess with their eye discipline and what they're looking at and make them uncomfortable. And they did that. And, you know, you felt Al Golden was really uncomfortable on the sideline. He didn't know what the hell to call, right? His play sheet probably looked like one of those things where you stare at and a pitcher comes out at you because you don't know what the hell to call to stop the Bears' offense and their run game. Just couldn't match up with them. But I think the run game is repeatable. Hopefully – back. I think they are doing a good job moving guys off the ball now. The Giants have a little better guys on the interior, so that'll be something I have to look at to see if they have an advantage there and how they can beat the New York Giants and teams moving on.
It's pretty extraordinary, really, that they've opened the season 5-3 and that they are right in the mix in the division after the results yesterday. So you feel good about that. I'm just curious, when you think about what they can get done, does it require improvement externally? I mean, in other words, now that they're 5-3, and I don't think anyone picked that, by the way, to start the season. You take that and run like a thief in the night. But do you believe that they're going to be able to kind of, like, they could not stop Flacco in any way yesterday. It was just it was far too easy. And the guy set a career high for passing yards. That is insane.
And he's 40.
And he's played for 20 or 18 years. It's nuts. I just wonder, do you conclude anything about the lack of improvement? Like, there's no more bye weeks. There's no more really getting a rest, getting better. How do they improve if they have this many guys that are kind of – it's a crapshoot?
Yeah, beat up, right? And I know what you're saying. When you watch this defense, okay, where do they go from here? Where do they find their pass rush? If Dial is out, the run defense is going to go down a little bit, as bad as he was. Not getting to the quarterback, not getting the pressure that a lot of us wanted out of him when they gave him money this offseason. He was good against the run, right? And what do they do? Do they move Jervon Dexter out with Grady Jarrett being healthy? Can we get more out of Grady Jarrett and Montez Sweat and Jervon Dexter and, Austin Booker? Great. Oh, man, what a great pass rush that was yesterday, right against Orlando Brown. After Orlando Brown thought he was the Undertaker, choking Montez Sweat, and Billy ran over there. And, as you guys know, I love that kind of stuff in the middle of a football game, brings the team together. But, Mully, to your point, I don't know where they look, right? Jalen Johnson is out. How hurt is Kyler Gordon? They weren't, yes, you don't see, obviously, T. Higgins and Jamar Chase every week, right? You don't see Flacco. They were scoring 30 on everybody. They were catching balls yesterday that were crazy, but seemed a little too easy. The biggest problem for me, I guess, when I watch is, not every team's going to have Jamar Chase, not every team's going to have T. Higgins, but why can't we get a pass rush, right? Why can't we get to the quarterback with the guys we got up front? And honestly, if they're going to prove anywhere, if they're going to take a jump anywhere, it's going to be there. Those guys got to get going. Those guys got to get after the quarterback, right? You got to, as we talked about, the rush and the coverage always work hand in hand. So to your point, when you watch that game yesterday and you watch the defense give up points and yards to a 40-year-old Flacco, I know there was a lot of argument on whether he was elite or not. He made an argument yesterday. Well, when you watch that, them do that to the Chicago Bears, you wonder what Dennis Allen's answer is going to be and where they're going to go, and they got to ask for a little more out of that defensive line to help their pass defense.
His accuracy was elite, definitely, yesterday at least. Mm-hmm. Olin, from your perspective, I wonder when you believe in running the football and establishing the identity and all those things, what value do those trick plays have in like an offensive game plan? Do you like what you saw yesterday? They ran three of them. Certainly Ben Johnson's got more of them, and we're likely to see them all before the end of the season. But how do they complement what you want to do offensively? Because the Bears yesterday were able to run it down the Bengals' throats because of the defensive opportunity, certainly, but they also were able to mix in some razzle-dazzle.
Yeah, I really like the when Ben Johnson uses them, and he has a reason why he's using them. I don't like them called just because I'm going to call him in here and make myself look like a genius, right? He calls them, to me, at times where he kind of guesses, not kind of, but it's not a guess. He studied film. He knows what defense they're going to run. He knows exactly what player they're trying to attack, right? Whether it be the cornerback in the end zone on the pass to Caleb Williams, right? They line up. Kyle Monongai, tight end, Caleb Williams in a shotgun by himself. And it's a trick play, and they still catch him off guard. So I like that because it keeps the defense off balance. It keeps the play caller off balance. And guess what they got to do, David? They got to practice that. They got to practice trick plays. They got to try guess what trick play coach is going to run against them. It takes up their practice time. That's less time they have to practice dual. And you need reps on stopping the Bears' downhill run game. And it makes them take time on things other than the things that the Bears probably think are really important. So you take some of their practice time away, and then you call it at the right time in the game, have some success, even if you don't have success. You like those jet sweeps, those reverses, those things are important because it makes guys play the whole field, defend 53 yards. You have to make the defense defend the whole field, and then you can attack them in the middle of the field. The biggest lie that people tell themselves is we run the ball whenever we want. No, you don't. If that defense doesn't care about anything else, if they don't care about your quarterback, if they don't care about trick plays, if they don't care about counter and reverse and jet sweeps, you're not going to run the ball at anybody in the NFL whenever you want. So Coach Johnson does a nice job adding those things in. So they have to play all 53 yards, and then those 2 or 3 yards in between the center and the guard, they become open to run Kyle Manungai downhill at the defense.
Loveland became the first Bears tight end to rush for or to gain over 100 receiving yards in a game. The last was Mike Ditka. And there's tons of statistics like that. There's like these weird things about – I believe DJ Moore became the first guy to catch as many yards as he had and throw for a touchdown since like the 1950s or something. Caleb Williams, first player in the NFL to pass for that many yards, have 50 rushing yards and 20 receiving yards in a game ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just all these bizarre kind of things that came out of it. The one that stood out to me is the idea that the Bears were 0-40 when allowing 42-plus points in any game in their history. And they obviously won that one. And they were, believe it or not, they'd lost 50 in a row since 2013 when they gave up 30 points. So they beat the hell out of that record. I'm just saying, how unlikely... Well, if we're tearing up a rule book and we're comparing guys to the coach, how bizarre was that occurred in front of our eyes yesterday?
Yeah, as long as we close our eyes and ignore that they gave Justin Fields 39 points last week, right? And who knows, the Jets probably have all these records they broke last week versus Bengals defense. But listen, you have to have the players. You still have to make the plays. You're still on the road in the NFL versus capable NFL football players, you know, a defense that is struggling. But this is what Ryan Poles was trying to do when he created this 7-on-7 team that I always talk about, right? This Tolson Loveland, this DJ Moore, this Rome Odunze. We all know Caleb's physical traits are elite. We all know that. We watch him, you know, make guys miss, and we keep saying watching the game. How many times is he going to spin out at a DN, and how many times is he going to fall for that? He's not falling for it, right? Caleb is just that kind of athlete. And he's setting him up, and he knows he's coming, and he's moving around. And then his arm, right? That throw is to Tolson Loveland at the end of the game. And then you have a 6'6", 6'7", 260-pound tight end who can run and run over guys and score touchdowns. And a tremendously talented group they have there at Halasaw, and they have a coach also. So what to make out of it is, you know, this is what they're capable of. Obviously, we all know what kind of defense we were watching yesterday, but you still have to make the plays. You still have to score the touchdown. You still have to execute the concepts that your coach gives you. And the good thing about now when you watch Chicago Bears is when you turn the film on, you know, we haven't done this a lot, guys, in the last 4, 5, 6 years. Turn the film on, and I don't care who you're talking about. They are the more talented team. That's what I thought going into yesterday's game. Yeah, they can win, right? They can also lose because we all saw the talent offensive side of the ball. And most of us picked the Bears to win yesterday. We didn't know all these numbers and this style and this trick plays, and it was going to be a walk-off touchdown, right? Like the World Series. So really, really fun game to watch. But they are a talented football team that is capable of things like this.
Great stuff, Olin.
Great stuff, Olin. Thanks.
Appreciate it, guys.
We'll talk to you soon. That is our guy, Olin Kreutz. He does an unbelievable job.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Overall, just really proud of the group and how resilient they were. There's a number of things that weren't pretty, that weren't clean, and yet I think what you learn about this group through the first half of the season is that they are an extremely resilient bunch. They show up and they're going to fight you all 60 minutes, and they really don't waver.
That's Ben Johnson talking about the Bears' 47-42 win over the Bengals. The Bears are now 5-3. Like me, I'm 5-3 every day.
You're a
10. No, I'm 5'3". I'm 5'3 every day. They're my record. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And we continue to kind of work through this. The things that you want to highlight that are positive, the things that you say this team needs to work on them, and you're also just trying to mentally process what you just saw, because that's something that we don't get to watch very often. We certainly don't get to watch a result in a Bears win.
The way I processed that game, because I did watch it back. I was out watching it in public because I wanted to feel...
In public.
No, because listen, I have
with
a friend...
Doug.
Shout out to Doug.
Marshall's got a friend named Doug.
And he's from Cincinnati.
He's a Bengals fan. He did not have a good day.
Layla refers to him as Bengals Doug sometimes. And I'm just like, yeah, you know.
Well, you guys were talking on the text line like everybody knew him. Layla's like, oh, tell Doug I said hi. I'm like, who's Doug and why don't I know Doug?
Doug and I had the same assessment about the game at one point.
Yeah.
I was like, nice, Doug.
I had texted Layla and said, Doug doesn't believe. And Layla's like, yes. And the premise was anybody and everyone could run on this Bengals defense.
Oh, my God.
And that premise was not disproven by the performance yesterday when you, 283 on the ground? Listen, I think for... There's Doug and everybody else having to watch that game, to see both Bengals and Bears fans out reacting to the final 2 minutes, it was indeed an emotional roller coaster. It was crazy. I thought the game was over when I saw Tremaine Edmonds run back a pick six.
Yeah.
I was talking about, do I need to break out the Snuggie for Comfy Monday? Things got very uncomfortable shortly
What did
thereafter.
Doug say when the game was over? Give us Doug's reaction. This is what Chicago's been waiting for.
Doug just kind of looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, that's why I'm here, Doug. I'm your emotional support, you know, fan that watches with you. Because I don't have, like, a rooting interest. I want my friends to be happy, though. Doug understood what it was and what it wasn't.
Doug always understands what it is and what it is not, because he's Doug.
Yeah, he's a Bengals fan. So think about the last few years. He knows
offense. Think about
offense,
the last 2 weeks.
Highly prolific. Last 2 weeks, perfect representation of since they went to the Super Bowl, right?
But here's the difference. That's also been here. Like, that's the 39-38 loss and the 47-42 loss. You could also have them here.
It's the antithesis of the problem, though. Because you guys love to talk about what Bears fans are accustomed to, and that is a running game and really strong defense. Well, what Bengals fans are accustomed to is all the offense in the world, all the money invested in wide receiver one and wide receiver two in the world,
and quarterback,
and nothing for defense.
Yeah, and it showed. But unfortunately, it also showed on the part of the Bears as well. I said this before. There were 3 total punts in this game. 3. Like, the only defensive stops that were occurring were the offenses stopping themselves. Block field goal, interception, as you mentioned. By the way, did you guys notice who was running back, who Montez Sweat had to push away on that interception?
Joe Flacco.
That was hilarious.
I'm like, what are you doing? How are you doing this? You're 40 years old and you're the one running back. So it's Montez Sweat, Kevin Byard, and Joe Flacco running back.
Flacco was gaining on him. I want to point that out.
It was very inspirational. I was like, you know what? I got to step up my game. If Joe Flacco's out here with a bad shoulder, throwing for 470 and running back a 96-yard touchdown that wasn't, driving his team down the field again,
Layla,
I was like, my God. God. I need to step my game up.
The worst part about it was he was gaining ground on Kevin Byard. You could tell Byard was a little bit gassed. And then Montez Sweat kind of looks up and is like, oh, you're over here?
Yeah.
And I was very happy that Montez Sweat did not wreck Joe Flacco because I was like, don't kill him.
It was like a horror film. We all saw what was happening. We're like, do you see Joe Flacco coming? And then Montez Sweat looks and he's just like annoyed. He's like, what the hell? Get out of here. And he didn't. You're right. He wasn't very violent.
He redirected him.
He swatted him. That's exactly what it is. Like, you know, if your remote control car is broken and it's fading off to the left, you just kind of reposition it so it go off to the right.
What's really funny is I initially thought Montez Sweat was running with Kevin Byard out of sheer joy. And then, no, you need backup. Again, best practices did matter. Unfortunately, none of that mattered because was it Chase Brown who got the hand on Kevin Byard? And at one point I was thinking, did the one hand on Kevin Byard ruling him down by contact, was that the difference in the entire game that ultimately swung the Bears ended up, you know, if you thought the Bears were going to lose and drive down the field in 54 seconds or 59, whatever it was, point being like, I'm like, oh my gosh, that hand on Kevin Byard gave the Bengals better field position.
I did not think,
and then they were able to do what they did. Like, I was worried that the hand was going to be the difference maker in the game.
At that point, I did not think. I sucked, and I felt bad for McLeod. Nick McLeod was the one who had the penalty on that play. But it's 41-27 Bears at that moment of Byard. So I did not think it was over at that, or that it was going to head in any other direction.
You didn't know that the Bengals were going to retake the lead at some point.
I did not.
You did not think that they were going to score 15 points in 49 seconds?
Yeah, I did not think that was going to
happen. I was worried. Once they scored as quickly as they did and there was an onside kick coming, I was like, I could think of 1,000 ways this onside kick is going to go bad.
But that's so we're on this emotional roller coaster. We're all talking about the emotions we had watching it. You're telling us, you know, on the text line and on Twitch, the emotions you had watching it.
Yeah, Edmonds, well, right. It was the Edmonds that got...
Yeah, I'm sorry I said Byard. It's Edmonds, yeah.
Yep.
My bad. There's so much in this game, like, you're just... Yeah, yep. I obviously saw the play. I was just... Yep. And poor Tremaine Edmonds to have it called back. I thought that stunk. But yeah, he was ruled down, so the 96-yard return was not there. So we're all talking about how we were absorbing this game. So then, on the other side of it is how the players were absorbing this game. And Mr. Cool, Calm, and Collected, he admitted, Caleb Williams, that he did have some emotions.
How was the emotional experience of the final 2 minutes or so?
For me or for just the team? For me, calm.
2 seconds later.
Your final pass today, can you take us through that entire sequence?
In that moment, I was a little bit of an emotional roller coaster just because it was around 30 so seconds or around that time, and you know, you throw that pass and you want to get in field goal range and get down, clock it, and then kick the game winning field goal. Colston made a great play, O-line block well, you know, threw a solid ball to Colston. He made a great play for us, bounced it off a few tackles and taking it the distance. And so in that moment, it's like Steph Curry with Steve Kerr, where it's like, oh no, yes. So that's where I was in that moment. Like I said, Colston made a great play for us. That's why he's here.
A little nervous he's going to get caught there?
I think it was 28 starting to track him down. And I was like, let's go, Colston. Pick up the legs and get in the end zone. You've took it the distance.
I do think that he's allowed to have some emotion and talk about it after the game.
I think
it's okay to say it. You won the game. You proved that you knew what you were doing, and you recognized the physical mismatch up the middle of the field, and he was past field goal range when he caught the ball. So all of that was done well.
I don't know what field goal range was yesterday, so I'm gonna stop short of saying he was in field goal range.
The red line on the screen was my indicator.
No, because I saw them get to that before in the first half, and what happened next?
Well, we don't know because they never told us.
They never told us what happened. But I will say this about Colston Loveland.
ESPN said it was blocked.
Somebody get Arch on the phone so we can break this down.
No. But the Colston Loveland piece of it is like he gets it. And I thought, okay, go down. You're running out of time. But then he got through. And I was like, boy, you better keep running. You're like, you better make it all the way because they were not going to have time. I was very confident they were not going to have time after he got to like maybe the 20-yard line.
Well, and frankly, Caleb Williams needed that throw. That was a throw in the pocket, over the middle of the field, recognizing the physical mismatch that Colston Loveland had on the coverage at the time, and he did not do that during the game as much as I would have liked to have seen. So that was really encouraging. Also, Jordan Battle, he had some questionable tackling that went on. At one point, a butt tap, I think he thought was a tackle. Although, to be fair, did you see that? One of the plays, there was like a butt tap.
I did not see the butt tap.
That's not a tackle.
Is there such a thing as a butt tap?
I mean, he just got a hand on him and tapped his butt. I forget who the bear was at the time. It's in my massive amount of notes. And then the other one he had was a shoulder tackle. Bro, what do you think a shoulder is going to do on 6'6" Colston Loveland? Like, where were you going with that? Why do you not want to use your arms in that moment when the game's on the line?
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about those.
Listen, I with the Colston Loveland thing, that man was due. And so to know he was not going to be denied, and you saw him after the game holding that ball tight, his game ball, and I was like, Colston, what's Tyler Warren doing right now? Oh, he's losing the game. I got you, Colston. I see you.
Feels good. And on that drive, too, like there was a little bit of redemption because he had thrown incomplete passes to Loveland himself and to Manungai, one of which was batted down, deflected. I was like, there it is. He's got to have a deflection, and he's having the deflection at the worst time, and then he redeems himself with a 58-yard play.
It was the Manungai 39-yard run.
Yeah.
And I typed Jordan Battle butt taps Manungai, 39 yards.
You butt tapped him.
I was like, that's not a tackle. That's just you being like, good job, buddy.
It's a good old-fashioned butt tapping.
Except you're on the other team.
But.
Yeah, you know what? Good.
I don't think I've ever heard it called butt tap.
That's what he did.
We're allowed to make stuff up. We're allowed to do that.
I reverse that word and just say a butt pat.
Let's call Doug. Let's see what Doug thinks.
Are you just like, boop? And I'm like, that's not a tackle.
Doug's
are you congratulating
right
him on
oh,
the play?
Oh, poor Doug.
Yeah, Doug's in shambles.
Should we call Doug during halftime or something?
I didn't know that he was in shambles. I think he has a job.
Yeah, he has a job. He's at work.
That would have been us today. If they hadn't driven down the field and Colston Loveland hadn't rumbled.
Doug would be a problem today. He would be a problem for you, would he not? Do you guys do that? Like, were you like
he
in
would
his
still
face?
Be complaining about the Bengals defense, much like we're still going to complain about the Bears defense.
Yeah, for everybody who's like, the Bears defense was still really bad. Yeah, we're not saying it was good. Like, go ahead. Go ahead and be offended by the performance you saw.
At least they had the two takeaways, three, but should have been two takeaways. What was Nashawn Wright thinking? Like, so on the Hail Mary play, what are you taught to do on a Hail Mary play? You bat the ball down. He's out here bobbling the ball. Can you imagine if a player had been close to him when he bobbled it and just grabbed it and run?
That was the one moment where Joe Flacco looked like a 40-year-old quarterback with a bad shoulder.
When he went
backwards,
that was
nowhere near close.
I was like, no, Joe, you got to get close to the line of scrimmage. You have any hope of this getting close to the end zone? And sure enough, he was like back behind maybe the 35-30.
I gotta tell you, I probably would have done the same thing Nashawn Wright did.
He did go down, though, at least. Like, I was afraid he was gonna keep running with the ball. Just go down, dude.
And if you want to be offended by the atrocious, and I mean atrocious, special teams play, be our guest. The ball didn't even go 10 yards before it was stepped on. Stepped on by one of the Bears.
Yeah.
Is that Danielle Hardy?
Dan Hardy. It was a bad play, according to, and we'll have Patrick Manley tomorrow. Is that our day?
Yeah, but we can talk about it today.
Well, I saw him last night, and he said that when he broke it down, and I don't know all the intricacies, but the headline is that was Daniel Hardy's fault. He should have been not near that ball at that point.
Eye wasn't on the ball as I was trying to block.
Yeah,
and at that
he should
point,
have been moving.
Your job is to look at the ball, see where it travels, and then it's your job to move forward.
Yeah, but he is, as Manley also said, probably their best special teams player, Daniel Hardy.
Yeah, you know what?
That's not giving me any comfort.
I'm just saying, it was a rancid special teams game, and we'll be talking to Richard Hightower about that on Thursday, I promise.
Well, yeah, because apparently he has job security past what most people do in America.
Yeah, I mean, he survived regime change. That's pretty good.
A regime change where there were two games decided by blocked field goals because of coaching points. Like, that is, I would absolutely be cooking on that. But yeah, my point is, if you want to be offended by all these things, you very well can. In fact, you can call us about it. 312-644-6767.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
They go end around. Moore's going to toss it and into the end zone to a wide open Williams. Well, we saw the misdirection on multiple plays on this drive from Ben Johnson as he goes even deeper into his bag of tricks.
Yeah, we call it a hot potato. It looks like, you know, you're hot potatoing the ball around to different people 4 times.
So look on Ben Johnson's face at the end of that football game tells me everything that I need to know about where the Chicago Bears are headed. The limit does not exist because I think that this team can compete with any team in the National Football League. I like their plan for not putting everything on Caleb's plate and just allowing this team to win games as that, a team. It's not one guy, it's the team.
It's Kyle Long talking about the Bears after the game was over, and the highlights courtesy of Spiro Dedis and CBS. More on him later.
It's funny because when Kyle Long says they're not just putting it on Caleb, it reminds me of last year when the whole organization was like, hey, Caleb, would you go ahead and save this whole thing?
Yeah, Caleb, you can fix this, right?
You can
fix all of this over the last 40 years, right?
Every bit of it. Yeah, we don't really have a good coaching staff either, but you got this, right?
You got it, right?
Yeah.
You're a trophy winner.
Yeah. Now, look what you have. With this coach, this offensive mind, and his voice being as powerful as it is, the Bears are going to be able to be in games like this for a lot of years. And hopefully that's with Caleb continuing to bloom. But I believe later on, if he needs to, at some point, take somebody else's cast off and with Jared Goff, do what he does. He can probably do that. This guy is good, man. The Bears are the second best running team in the NFL. 144.4 yards per game, behind the Bills, ahead of the Jets, Commanders, Panthers, and the Ravens. The second best running team in the NFL.
Hell yeah!
They have the highest percentage of explosive plays in the NFL. 10 yards for a run, 20 yards for a pass. 14.1 is their explosive play rate, according to True Media. Well, more explosive plays than anybody.
Look at the explosive plays from yesterday.
Yes!
A 39-yard run from a Nung guy, a 14-yard run from Caleb, a 22-yard touchdown run from Brown,
mm-hmm.
a 17-yard run from Moore, a 58-yard reception for a 58-yard pass by Caleb Williams to Colston Loveland, a 15-yard one from Zacchaeus, DJ Moore with 23-yard catch,
wow.
a 20-yard catch from Caleb himself.
Wow.
There was a lot of explosive plays that happened in yesterday's game.
They are so well designed and coached as an offense. It is amazing. And the revamp with the running game and everything that offensive line is doing in the running game, second in the league in running. They're fourth overall in offense. They're fourth in yards as an offense. How about this? They're the fourth highest first quarter scoring team in the NFL, even with their red zone problems like last week.
Imagine what happens when you clean all that up and the penalties oh, yeah! up.
And that's because their design on those first 15, as we know, is just exquisite. Here are the highest first quarter scoring teams, okay? Philly, Seattle, Buffalo. Then the Bears.
Those are all playoff teams.
Ahead of the Colts and the Lions.
Those are playoff teams,
the
too.
The Lions are sixth. I mean, this offense, man, and that guy, how about the misdirection that your guy Spiro Dedis, you love him now, you see it now, you get what I've always seen.
I get it. I feel bad that I get it. I totally get it.
All the misdirection on that first drive. Can we talk about the DJ Moore screen when he had four offensive linemen in front of him? Four! They did a little misdirection, a fake handoff to Menungai, and then a throwback over the edge who had come in as the...
They suckered him in,
and then DJ Moore with his screen pass, four offensive line, and he just stayed behind them methodically, slowly. It was gorgeous.
Even the screen back to Caleb, where it's Dahlman out in front of him, and you go, wow, look at that. Look at all that space that they've got, and he's got a lead blocker.
I mean, it's like all the stuff we've seen before, little tight end screens that Kelsey has run and other teams have run for years. We know that stuff's in the bag. He's just so damn good. And 576 yards of offense, including 283 rushing yards. It's bananas.
I will say that while I'm looking at the box score, something did strike me there, Speaks.
Okay.
Every one of the Browns receivers had an explosive play.
The Bengals receivers.
Bengals.
Every single one.
Yeah. Chase Brown had a 21-yard catch. T. Higgins had multiple explosive catches.
I don't think Tinsley.
Jamar Chase had 36.
Yeah.
Ishavash had, Yoshavash had 28-yard one. Hudson had a 33-yard one. Fant had a 23-yard one. Uh-huh. Tinsley had a 27-yard one.
Yeah.
That's too many explosives.
Isn't there a Tinsley in there?
Yeah, I said Tinsley had 27-yard.
That was my favorite moment. Third quarter, about 7:30 mark. A deep ball to Hudson with a nice touch with defensive holding on top of it.
Hudson 3-2-700.
And then the deep ball to Tinsley. Another perfect ball from Flacco with a Tyreek defensive pass interference on top of it. So they allowed two straight nice big gainers to dudes I'd never heard of and also had penalties on them. At some point, we should talk about the Bears' secondary.
Yeah, but and we threw a little bit in there. We don't have to focus in on it, but it was throw a little bit of that in there, too, because it was like watching that dude almost throw for 500 yards was amazing.
Absolutely. But you're in games like this now, and you're one of the teams that can be in games like this, even as your quarterback is developing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.